It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now, here's Bo Snerdly. It's time for Radio Royalty with James Golden and America's Princess of Policy, Princess Di.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Her Royal Highness is gracing us with her delightful and incredible intellect and take on the world. Our very own Princess Diana Mee. Your Majesty, how are you this July 4th weekend?
I am so happy to have just heard that one. Talk about intellect, that wonderful conversation you had with Mark Levin. I think that was so enlightening and interesting and fantastic, and I love how you ended with that question, optimism or pessimism. I think that I come down on the optimism side, but you need both views as part of the debate and the discussion. I just wanted to say, you know, the left is panicked and upset about the court, and this is a real sea change because it's always been our side who's been upset with the court. And now they have only three votes that they can count on. And I agree with you. I think that the last week or two has been momentous, and I think the implications are going to be felt for a good long time. I don't even think the pundit class has figured out what this all means. It's enormous.
I think so, too. And by the way, you know, we have the three votes, even though Justice Breyer retired. Bye-bye. And we have the cisgender, I guess, would be Ketanji Jackson Brown, because she doesn't know whether she's a woman or not, because, of course, we don't know she doesn't know what a woman is. But anyway, she's on the court now. And Good Morning America tweeted out this morning, congratulations to her because she's the first black justice on the Supreme Court. It was like, well, what is Clarence Thomas? Chopped liver? What's Thurgood Marshall? Chopped
exactly.
liver?
Chop liver to them. I mean, their lives and their observances began with their own existence. They have no sense of history or outside their bubble. So that figures.
So I want you to listen to this.
Still losing.
I want you to listen to this. I saw this story on your post, on a post that you had on Twitter today, and I was like, what is this story all about? Let's listen to it because it's a little bit self-explanatory, but then I want to get your take on it. Go ahead and play it, Kev.
Sustainable. What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
That is Joe Biden's spokes guy, DC. This is about the future of the liberal world order. What the hell?
Well, of course, the phrase triggers us conspiracy nuts who have been triggered by anything having to do with the New World Order ever since George Bush Sr. mentioned it in 1990. This is something, the New World Order or anything that has to do with global ruling has been something that the conservatives and conspiracy nuts too have been on guard against because it takes away American sovereignty. And instead of the decisions being made at the local level, at the national level, they're going to be made by global governance, which is what the left wants because it's a lot easier. They don't have to deal with pesky voters. They don't have to deal with argument. They don't have to deal with debate. And so that is why that phrase is so significant. Now, in this case, this was at a NATO summit in Madrid where Biden was. And so he was asked after he had said that the reason for the gas prices are Russia, Russia, Russia. He had said that basically it was going to last as long as it takes for us to defeat Russia as part of the NATO. So that's the context there. And this guy who's director of Biden's National Economic Council was saying that this is the future of the liberal world order, meaning the post-World War II NATO order. against Russia. That is what they all love, which is why they all lost their cookies when Trump appeared to shake the NATO order when he asked them to pay for their part in it.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. So that's what this is about. It is just simply to maintain this old, you know, traditional arrangement of countries where you have some lining up against Russia and some lining up against the United States, and that we, the superpowers, get to duke it out. And so that is no longer the case in the world. The world has moved on, but the people who are in charge of the money of both political parties and also internationally want to maintain that, because the sluice of money going through that order is tremendous, and they get to control it. So it's good to have your antenna up when you hear any such thing. But in this case, he was just basically saying, you know, we want NATO to still be in effect.
Okay. Now, this guy, Jamel Bowie, who used to be with Slate, now is with the New York Times. We've talked about his columns before. He wrote another one today. The Supreme Court is the final word on nothing. Nothing. Damn Supreme Court. Screw them all. Well, that's, by the way, what Maxine Waters has been saying, when it defy the court. Other liberals have been saying F the court. And, of course, the reaction to Clarence Thomas has just been over the top, racist and bigoted from the left. What do you expect? But I thought this interesting, because actually he raised an argument that Rush used to raise about the fact that the Supreme Court does have a check in the Congress. But the Congress has been unwilling to pull the trigger on that check for ever since. And so I just thought it was interesting reading this, starting to talk about Article 3. The last person that really raised Article 3 in a big way was Rush Limbaugh, that gives the Supreme Court original jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera. But these courts are established by the Congress. And if Congress doesn't like what the Supreme Court is doing, by golly, they really could step in and change things. What's your take on this article?
I had the same reaction. I thought it was an excellent article. I don't usually agree with him, but it
Me
was
either.
A constitutional argument. And I'm thinking maybe the fact that the Supreme Court is starting to go back to constitutional arguments again has been sort of sent out there into the universe, and even leftists are starting to, hey, we should read the Constitution, see what's in there, and see what we can use. And so he provided a very sound argument. I mean, his motivation is to overturn, you know, what's been happening, because our side has been winning and his side has been losing. But that is how you address it. You look at the Constitution, see what is the remedy, and then you get other people to organize and to be motivated to then have your representatives, you know, represent your point of view. So I think more power to him. That's exactly what should happen, is that this should be fought out on constitutional grounds.
Princess Di, thank you so much. We look forward to tomorrow. We're going to get your thoughts tomorrow on July 4th, a holiday that I do not celebrate. However, before you go knee jerk on that, I love the fact that we have July 4th and so many Americans celebrate it. I just don't celebrate.
We are going to have such a good debate on that, James. I cannot wait.
Yeah, on White People's Independence Day, you know. Sorry, trying to go racial on everybody, but that's what it was.
What I have to say, we'll see if you agree with yourself.
I always agree with myself. And you know what I saw, by the way, and I recommend for viewing? I just got through watching the Ken Burns documentary on Benjamin Franklin. Believe it or not, it's on that horror channel, PBS. But they did a really good job on this documentary on Ben Franklin. And it just reinforced everything that I think about these matters. So,
okay.
There's that.
We will see.
Tomorrow, Princess Di joins us on our July 4th special. Thank you, Princess Di. James Golden, Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour, coming back right after this.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Bo Snerdly.
On 77 WABC.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.